Earlier this week, I spent a few days in St. Louis visiting people that I got to know when I spent 4 years there attending seminary. The great saint for which the city is named after always impresses me. St. Louis was brought up in the faith by his devout mother, mainly because his father died at such a young age. But at least on one occasion, St. Louis's mother said to him, "I love you, my dear son, as much as a mother can love her child. But I would rather see you dead at my feet than that you should ever commit a mortal sin." You know, that sounds pretty harsh. It came to mind as I was reflecting on today's gospel, where Jesus, too, can come across as harsh, but likewise, the same as the mother of St. Louis was speaking out of true and pure love. Jesus says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and then tossed into the sea." So what's going on here? Well, Jesus is actually revealing quite a bit. Within this one sentence, Jesus is revealing the seriousness of sin, whether we commit a sin ourselves or cause others to sin. He's revealing the consequence of sin. And then, most importantly, he's revealing his love for us. It may be helpful to picture the image that Jesus provides in this teaching. You know, I think most people have an idea of a millstone, something used to grind something down, typically some type of grain or wheat, for instance. But the millstone that Jesus mentions is not some random or small stone that one can use by hand. Actually, it was called a donkey stone because it was extremely large and heavy, and a rope was attached to it, and then the donkey would pull the stone around on this platform, grinding the grain down. And that stone would have weighed around 1,000 pounds. And Jesus says it would be better if this 1,000-pound stone were tied around someone's neck and then tossed them into the sea. If that's better than causing someone to sin, then how terrible must sin be? Now, we know that Jesus uses hyperboles a lot to get his point across. He doesn't want us to literally cut off our hand after we commit a sin. But his point is, nothing is as dreadful as sin. Why is that? Because sin separates us from God. And if we're separated from God, then we are dead. Just as life and death is black and white, so is sin and its consequences. Jesus uses this in-your-face language because not only does sin lead to death, but if one does not repent of their sins, hell will be their eternal dwelling place. He speaks of Gehenna 3 times within 3 verses back to back. This isn't some make-believe theory that the church received, you know, back in the Middle Ages. It's what God has revealed and is therefore the permanent teaching of his Catholic Church. Listen to what the Catechism says. It's paragraph 1034 in the Catechism. Jesus speaks of Gehenna, of the unquenchable fire, reserved for those who to the end of their life refuse to believe and be converted, where both soul and body can be lost. The teaching of the Church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity. Immediately after death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishments of hell. Quote, eternal fire. The chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God, in whom alone man can possess the life and happiness for which he was created. The church is very clear when it comes to sin and hell because Jesus was very clear on it. In 21 out of the 38 parables that Jesus uses in Scripture, he speaks of hell or final judgment. That's more than the rest of the New Testament combined. Why does Jesus speak so forcefully and frequently about the reality of hell and the pain that goes with it? Because he can't stand the thought of losing any one of us to that place. That's why he died on the cross, to keep us out of hell and to permit us, most importantly, to enjoy eternal happiness in heaven. He speaks of hell and hellfire more than anyone else because no one else loves you more than him. When Jesus gives us this image of this great large millstone, listen to how he begins. Whoever causes one of these little ones to sin. That should ring a bell, because just 7 verses earlier, if we go back to the gospel passage from last Sunday, Jesus took a child and placed it in their midst, in the disciples' midst, saying, "Whoever receives one child in my name receives me." Remember, he associates himself to those little ones. And then another time in Scripture, he says, "Unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." So today's passage about causing one of those little ones to sin, not only is it about us, but it can be applied to us in 2 different ways. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't even want to think too long or too hard on the idea of having a great stone attached to my neck and then being tossed into the sea. It's not going to end well. Jesus is urging us not to participate in sinful things, let alone cause somebody else to sin. The Gentiles back in the early church, when they saw Christians committing sins, they called them either liars or fools. Because if I don't believe what the church says about the severity of sin and hell, yet claim to be Catholic, then obviously I'm a liar. Or if I do believe what my faith says about sin, but refuse to try to turn away from it, then I'm a fool, because it'll lead to my eternal death. As the mother of St. Louis tried to enforce in her son, we must be willing to do whatever is in our power to avoid sin, and likewise to help others avoid sin. Whether it's our actions or our lack of actions, we better make sure that we are not leading anyone away from God, because he will not stand for anyone causing the separation of his children from himself. But it's you and me. We're those children, God's beloved children. We're called to be those little ones who Jesus is speaking of in today's gospel. He tries so desperately to warn us about hell because he loves us, children of God, as a parent loves their child. And we will only begin to understand why Jesus speaks of hell and why he does so frequently and so vividly until we begin to understand just how much he loves us, how much he desires our love and our true and eternal happiness.